Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, which has been read under the theme this morning, God so loved you. Please be seated. My dear friends in Christ Jesus, it was a hot summer evening, about 10 p.m., we were on a night patrol in Arizona. And in Arizona, there is this little creature that crawls around on the ground. And when you get too close to it, it lets you know. It rattles. I wish I had a rattle, because it is a sound that I will never, ever forget. Probably about 10 feet to my right. When you hear a rattle, we are trained that you stop, you freeze. You make no movement. And you listen to the rattle. You have to make sure you know where the rattle is. And you don't go towards the rattle. You go away from the rattle. So we gave it about 30 seconds, maybe a little less, although it felt like a couple of years. And we immediately turned and ran the opposite way. If anyone would have gotten bit by that fiery poison, it would have been because I was on the outside flank of our patrol. About 10 feet from me was that rattle. It's a sound that I'll never forget, but it's also a sound that I know actually may have even saved my life. For without the rattle, I could have easily walked right into the snake pit. And I probably wouldn't be standing here today, because we didn't have any antidote with us. It's something that we would never think of carrying. Today, in our text, Jesus recalls for Nicodemus a story about snakes and about being bitten by a fiery serpent and that poison that courses through the body and will immediately kill you. You see, this was the experience of the children of Israel in the wilderness when they complained towards God and they complained of God and they also complained about Moses. So God sent those poisonous snakes to bite disobedient sinners. God told them that if they would look to the brass snake that Moses would build and lift up in their presence, if they would look towards the snake and towards God's direction, they would be saved. Needless to say, when the people were bit, they did look to the bronze serpent upon a pole, and they were saved. In like manner, God moves to save man from the fiery bite of death. He wants us to listen this morning. He wants us to listen to his son. For his son is teaching us, as he was teaching Nicodemus, the importance of what it means that God so loved you. Yes, your heavenly Father certainly loves each and every one of you. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus, to be lifted up. Why? Well, thank God. Thank God that we are not plagued by snakes. Now, I know that many of you in here don't appreciate me talking about snakes. But can you imagine being infiltrated, being overtaken, being overrun by fiery serpents? If you didn't die from their fiery bites, maybe some of you would die from fright. You see, though, my dear friend, the plague that we have, the plague that has overtaken us, is much more deadly than serpents upon a ground. And without the antidote, we would certainly die in our trespasses and sin. You see, the plague that we have is the plague of sin. And that plague of sin, without the antidote, will certainly kill us and leave us with no hope. We will be condemned to everlasting torment. We will be condemned to hell. This plague that we have also causes us to sink deadly fangs into our loved ones, to sink our deadly fangs into our neighbors and to our fellow Christians. Unlike the rattlesnake who will bite and release, we human beings, we like to get a whole chunk of flesh and we continue to chew on it, don't we? We enjoy the fiery weapon that we have in our mouth. And it's not fangs, but it's this little thing that we call a tongue that is a very dangerous weapon. You see, our sin leads us to spew out gossip, hatred, lies, murder of our neighbor, even though it's not physical. You wish they were dead, don't you? Our tongue causes us to steal the good name of our neighbor, to entice away our neighbor's wife or her husband. We sin daily and much because we are infected. We have been bitten with this thing called original sin. And we are sinners. We transgress God's law daily and much, 1 through 10, without exception. Since we ourselves have been bitten by sin, we require an antidote. So therefore, God sends his Son. Jesus comes into the world. My friends, have you ever thought of it this way? When Jesus came into the world, he stepped directly into the middle of the snake pit. And when Jesus stepped into the middle of the snake pit, he himself was bitten. But he wasn't bitten by Satan. He was actually bitten by his Father, for his Father injected into him all of the poison of this world. All of your sin and all of my sin was placed upon Jesus. And he took it into his body and he took it to the cross. Jesus willingly took the poison that we deserved. He took all of the lashes. He took all of the spitting. He took all of the slapping, the punching, the lying, the mocking. He took the thorns. And yes, he took the nails. He took them all to the cross. And as he was lifted up upon the cross, by his stripes, we are healed. The verse that is probably the most famous verse in all of Scripture, which we kind of paraphrase for our young ones this morning, John 3:16. The most famous verse of the Bible, without a doubt. You know, most people kind of misunderstand this verse. They like to say, well, John wrote this. This is a verse from John, and that's true. I want you to never forget that these words are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying these words. He is telling you that his Father sent him, and no one else. No one else went to the cross. No one else had the antidote. Only Jesus. Therefore, Jesus tells Nicodemus his Father's plan. He tells Nicodemus that he has a plan for him, for Israel, for the whole world. He has a plan for you and a plan for me. That plan actually began from the very beginning. Genesis 3:15. You see, the Father gives. Yes, he gives and he freely gives. He gives everlasting life, as Jesus himself tells us. And he gives that everlasting life to believers. In the Old Testament reading this morning, which you have heard, anyone who looked to the bronze serpent, they were saved. Did you notice that Moses nor God forced the people to look? When they were bitten, they believed the promise. They believed what God had said through Moses. They believed that if they looked to the snake, they would be saved. They looked because they believed. Likewise, this morning, dear ones, Jesus promises to you. In those words of John 3:16, he makes a promise to each and every one of you that when you believe that he was lifted up for you, yes, you too will be saved. It's a promise. It's a solemn guarantee. But he doesn't force you to do it. He doesn't come up to you stand behind you and grab you by the arm and twist it behind your back and make you look to the cross and believe. That's not belief, and that's not faith. You see, my friends, when it comes to this, there are no strings attached. There's no coercion. There's no work for you to do. There's no amount of money that you can pay to buy your way into heaven. There's no work that you can possibly do that overcomes what has happened here. For this is the ultimate act of love. When you speak of love, you have to speak about the cross. Because God so loved you. He gives you eternal life. Jesus says that you will have eternal life if you believe that the Son of Man was lifted up for you. You know, the words that he uses in the original language means that you have eternal life right now. Not something in the future, not from the past. It's right now. You have eternal life. The free gift is yours. All you have to do is take hold of it and believe it. And in your belief, you will be saved. Now, my friends, I know that the weather's getting nice. Maybe no more snow, if it's God's will. Pretty soon, you will walk out your back door with your porch light on, and there'll be all kinds of bugs. And you'll be complaining about the bugs then and not the snow. That's the way it is. We human beings love to complain, don't we? But have you ever thought about it? Why, when you turn on your porch light, do the bugs immediately fly to the light? Well, it's because of the heat. That they love the heat, for the heat is what keeps them alive. Therefore, just as bugs are drawn to your porch light, your Heavenly Father is drawing you here today to the light, as Jesus tells us. He is the light of the world who's come into the world. But the people of this world, they hate the light. They don't want to live in the light because they don't want their evil works to be exposed. You see, people by nature, you and me, all people, we're born in darkness. And before we are brought to the font, before we are baptized, we are children of perdition. We are children of darkness. But thanks be to God that he draws us. He draws us by the work of the Holy Spirit to become his children. It is his work as he draws us to save us from our sin. You see, you and I, we cannot create our own light. If you stand in a dark room, you can stand there for years and years wishing that you had a light because you can't create light on your own. There is only one light that drives away the darkness of your soul and the darkness of your heart, and his name is Jesus. Isn't it interesting to you? Maybe you haven't thought about it, but Nicodemus, a member of the Sanhedrin, still awaiting the Messiah, comes to Jesus at night, comes to him in darkness, not only physical darkness, but darkness of heart. And he questions Jesus, wanting to know how he could possibly do this. And since he is doing it, he must be from God. You see, he was drawn to Jesus. The Father drew him to Jesus. And as he listened to Jesus, his heart was convicted. And we know that Nicodemus became a Christian. John 19:39. It was John who told us that it was Joseph of Arimathea and a man named Nicodemus who took Jesus down off the cross, prepared his body very quickly, and placed it into a tomb. The same Nicodemus who was in the darkness was now living in the light. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friends, your God is drawing you this morning. He is drawing you here. He is drawing you out of the world. And as he drew you out of the waters of holy baptism, he is drawing you to himself. Today, God is drawing you here. He is drawing you to this place. He is drawing you out of the world once again. And as he draws you to his holy supper here at this altar, he feeds you with real food. He nourishes you with body and blood because of his love for you. Today, God is drawing each and every one of you here today out of this world to hear his preached word, the words that are words of truth from his word. And as you hear his word, you hear that you are not condemned. You have been saved. Yes, you have been saved. If you truly believe that Jesus was lifted up for you, it is his promise. You are saved from all your sin. Therefore, as a preacher, as one called by your Savior, I proclaim to you today the forgiveness of all your sin. The forgiveness of all your sin in Christ Jesus your Lord. For God so loved you. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.